we're going to train about today is a training I heard about a couple of weeks back, about, three or four weeks back. Lydia put this on one of our trips. She put a CD in, and it was by Paula Pritchard. And some of you know Paula Pritchard. She was a top in Amway, the first woman diamond in Amway ever. And then she went over to two other companies. Zochite Chocolate was her most recent one that she reached the highest levels. And now I think she's moved on to Genesis Pure is her newest one that she's jumping on board. But she's incredibly talented and a great leader, just really has it down. She was a woman that was going after her PhD at Kent University, a teacher there, and somebody introduced her to Amway. She went to a meeting and she heard when she got her PhD concluded, they were going to pay her an extra $1,500 a year. And she sat there and listened to people who in 2 months were making $1,500 a month extra. And she thought, I'm going to do all this work to get an additional $1,500 on an annual basis instead of doing with these people. So she went out there and she built a network marketing business. Now, isn't that intriguing that somebody like that would, some of you, the person who's teaching college is not on your chicken list. You won't contact them. Yet Paula Pritchard saw the vision and she jumped on it and she said, and she failed miserably. She went through her first year and she was like miserable because she had so many people, but her business wasn't doing anything. It was like, you know, one of her mentors, she finally called an upline mentor, and the mentor told her, they said, you know what, Paula, says, if your people aren't doing anything, then start all over. And she was like, she goes, start all over? She couldn't even fathom starting all over. But sometimes that's the way we need to look at our business. We need to look at who are we spending our time and energy on, and are they really producing or not? And so she started all over. She just started looking for quality people that really were going to do something, people that had the get up and go and the energy and had the characteristics she was looking for, and she became a diamond in Amway. But it was that bit of advice that made all the difference in the world for us. So all of us are looking for a little bit of advice that make a difference for us. But Paula, what she did is she heard so many people complain in the field about, I've been all the trainings, why isn't it working for me? So she actually decided to do a training called, I've been to all the trainings, so why isn't it working for me? Because I know some of you on this call probably feel the same way. And hopefully through today's call, there will be something I share with you that hits home to you. So listen to it from a perspective of what would make a difference in my life. What are these incredible core principles that Paula teaches that really can make a total difference in my life because I'm not applying them? I think I have a better way. I'm ignoring the basic principles of success, which is really what network marketing is. All the principles we teach here are principles of success in any endeavor, but they're also principles that are tied into networking in and of itself. So let's take a peek at what Paula has to say, and I'm going to share this with you from my heart and give you some insight into some things that I might add to it, but she does a great job, and I really honor her. I love her book, Owning Yourself. I did that as a book review, so you can look that up on the Manatrain website if you want to look at the book review there or buy the book yourself. She did a great job in that book, and she has, and specifically, there's one chapter in there about building distributorships, which I absolutely love, my favorite chapter in her book, but her whole book has great, great content. She speaks to me in an incredible way, and maybe it's because we both came from professional backgrounds with lots of degrees, and we ended up doing network marketing. So it's just a fun place to be, a lot better than what we were doing in our past, as both of us would agree. All right, so let's talk about it. I've been to all the trainings, and it's still not working for me. So it's she talks about this. She talks about it like it's like going to a doctor's office. This is a process. If you're sitting out there and you're frustrated, it's not working for you, then it's about going through and asking a lot of questions. It's a process you need to go through to just query, what is it, why is it not working for me? Because for everybody, it's something different. It's not, we're all not made identically, but we're all different, and we approached our businesses differently. We did different things, so we need to ask ourselves and go through that series of questions. What am I doing wrong? Determine what the problems are. Because a lot of times people working this business, they start looking around and they go, am I just losing my mind or what? Right? Because a lot of people join network marketing and they see how easy it is, which it is easy. Network marketing is easy. The principles are not difficult. The concepts of, you know, contact, invite, present, close and follow up, contact, invite. I mean, you know, these are not like rocket science principles. In fact, I could teach them to a third grader and they could go out and do network marketing and probably be better than some of the people I may have signed up over the years, right? I mean, because they have less baggage that they're carrying forward with them. And they have lots of energy and enthusiasm and you know, and they don't seem to get, they don't seem to worry about people saying no. We've developed a lot and we get stuck in our lives, but we need to find out if it's not as easy as we thought. And the part that's harder than, it's not the substance of what we do that's hard, it's the discipline behind it that makes it hard. It's the interacting with people every single day and how to respond to them and taking them on every single day. That's what tends to be difficult for people. And when it's not as easy as you thought it was, you want to go, well, what do I need to do? What do I need to do differently? And all of us can remember that when we came on the first time, I remember my first convention with Manifest, and I was sitting in the audience. Well, the most important thing I remembered from the first convention wasn't necessarily the people getting recognition. It was the Friday night testimonials. And for those of you who have been in Manatech long enough, you know what I'm talking about. And they just blew me off my seat in my chair. I just knew. I walked away feeling like the Lord was tugging on my heart. This is, you have to do this, right? This is that makes such a difference in everybody's life. So it was that was impactful to me. But the other idea of watching people across stage, every single Manifest that you go to now, you always hear these presidentials who say, I remember 4 years ago when I was sitting out there in the audience, or I remember 7 years ago when I was sitting, or I remember 2 years ago when I was sitting in the audience at my first Manifest, and I heard my friend get up on stage about making it to presidential. And I thought, I'm going to do that. Notice what they did. Did they say, I'm going to do that only if it's comfortable? I'm going to do it only if it's easy. I'm going to do it only if I don't have to get out of my comfort zone. I'm going to do it, but only if everybody says yes to me instead of no. I'm going to do it only if I can stay within my local community and I don't have to make too many phone calls to people I don't know. I'm going to do it only if, you get, they didn't say any. There was no only if. They just said, I'm going to do that. I'm going to be on stage. So really big. But remember those. Every one of us, there's no doubt in my mind, anyone can make it in network marketing. But are they going to be willing to change and do some things differently than what they've always accepted or things that they're only comfortable with? That's the difference. Therein lies the difference. It's not about intellect. It's not about where you were raised. It's not about color, size, shape. You go back and read Think and Grow Rich and understand success has no correlation to any of that. It's all about, I'm going to be there, which is belief, right? Yeah. So we got to start looking, what am I doing wrong? But can I be doing things, even if I believe, can I be doing things wrong? Right, yeah, you can be stuck. You can be stuck with things and you're going to be causing yourself a lot of headaches that you don't need unnecessarily. So that's usually the first question people ask. It's the most asked question, she says, in the entire business is, what am I doing wrong? So let's first talk about four stages of business so we understand what this business really is. And for most people that get started, we have four stages. This is what Paula teaches. We have four stages of business. Number one is the excitement stage. You just got introduced to it. You had some kind of miracle recovery in your family. You had some incredible result with the Ambertos, with your own family like I did. And all of a sudden, you are off the charts excited. You can't wait to help change the world, you know, and you start talking to everybody. And your excitement, enthusiasm turns on the world. So all of a sudden you get people signing up everywhere. You got all this enthusiasm, this excitement. And then you realize, oh my gosh, I need to manage these people. And you love to go right into management mode. So you drop off of all that exciting communication with people and you start getting into management. And this is the second stage. And this is the stage Paula calls the beginning of the end. Networking is a business of duplication. The speed of the leaders is the speed of the group. So if you stop moving, so will your group. So critical for you, as I was for years. I'm going to tell you, I've been in Manatech now 17 years, perhaps, something like that. And every single year, year after year after year, I was always in the top five enrollers of my entire organization. Year after year after year. What did that tell you? It told you I realized this principle is crucial, that I need to if I'm not on the speed dial, no one in my organization is going to be on. I can't sit back and be mellow Mary Jo and expect everybody in my organization to be out there signing 12 people up. And you know, I fell a little bit into management from time to time, and boy, I just got right out of it. And recently, I've been totally out of it. I don't even want to manage anything. I mean, I'm still doing it because I love my people and come from a support role, but I love going out there and finding new people. That's my joy. That's my desire. So what happens is you fall into management and you die. You kill. It's like pouring like gasoline on your group and lighting the match so that the fire burns them out. You just have wiped out the crops. You've wiped out the prospecting. You've wiped out your organization, and you sit back and you go, but I had a national director underneath me, and I was helping her try to drive her and myself to executive, and it just didn't work. Well, because you weren't working. You were managing people. So what happens is you go into the questioning. After you manage people and you start seeing your business dissipate and go away, then you get into the third stage, which is called the questioning stage. And what's the number one question people ask? What am I doing wrong? And if you talk to your upline and they know anything about network marketing, they're going to tell you, here's what you're doing wrong. I look at your contact list last week. You had 3 new contacts. That is never, ever going to lead anyone anywhere. So what happens? You go to stage 4, building the business again. You go back to what works. So recognize that. This may alone be exactly where you're stuck and might have opened your eyes to what you need to do differently, because we all need to be in that green and growing stage of constantly out there, contact, and making 3 contacts a day. I'm not telling you that's a standard. I'm just saying that's a minimum. You should make 3 contacts every single day. And that should be your goal every single day, 3 contacts every day. And some of you have a stack of business cards sitting on your desk or contacts that you never followed up with, you never came back to, and you go, well, now I might as well just throw them away. No, don't throw them away. Here's what I tell people to do. I learned this from Todd Falcone. He said, if you've got business cards on your desk that you haven't followed up with, which I believe that everyone on this call can say, I'm victim to that, I've done that, right? I'm definitely all in on that one. What you want to do is you want to start today. Grab a stack of them and just start going through them. Dial up the person, and this is what you say. Is this Sharon? So they say, great. Listen, this is Mary Jo Hilliker, and I just came across your card on my desk. I have no clue how it got here. But you know what? I would love to find out more about your business and see, you know, what would a great referral look like to you? Can you just tell me a little bit about your business? And that's how you start the conversation, and you're all in. You get it? And then you build a relationship. So, and you go, well, Mary Jo, what does that have to do with Manatech? Well, what do you think is going to happen after they describe their business? What would be a great referral for them? What do you think they might ask you? So what do you do? Right? That's going to be the next question. Right? So anyway, so that's another way. Contacts can come everywhere, so we can do it. All right, second concept under that I want to talk about when Paula was the do factor. And this is very important for all of us to understand, too, because this can be one big reason why it's not working for you. See, from the time we were born, we were told exactly what to do, right? As children, we were told exactly what to do. When we went into schools, we were told exactly what to do. When we went to church, we were told exactly what to do. I mean, everywhere we were always told exactly what to do, whether it was school, work, homework, or even going to a job. If you've ever been in a job, they were told exactly what to do. Now you enter into multi-level marketing, and no one's telling you what to do every day. You have been programmed to be needed to be told what to do every day. So research shows, too, that 1% can be in business without being told what to do. Only 1%. So that means out of 100 people, 99 people will fail unless they're told what to do. That's what research shows. 3% make it with a supervisor. So if you have just a supervisor kind of overseeing it, 3% of the population can make it there. The rest can't do it. They need to be told what to do because that's how we've been programmed. So anyway, we've got to be in the understanding that maybe this is what's holding us back. Maybe we need to put together a fixed plan every single day and tell ourselves what to do. We know what to do. We know the 12 daily dozen. We know the activities. We know the 4 core activities to making this business work. We know the daily dozen. And if we just would do them every day, what would happen? But Mary Jo, it's boring. It's repetitive. I don't care. Would you want to go work on a, you can go work in a factory and work on the line and make $10, $12 an hour, $15 an hour, whatever pay the pay is. I'm in Texas, so we pay a lot less here. So anyway, so you can work all of that and do all those things. And what's your prospect of ever being a millionaire? Zero. What's your prospect of ever having a, leading a good life? Zero. Or you can say, okay, I'm going to work at Manitech. I'm going to do the daily dozen every day. I'm going to make at least, you know, set up at least, do 2 to 3 presentations. There, remember the one fellow I saw at a network marketing convention who was failed at 11 network marketing companies over a 10-year period of time. Failed every single time. Now, some people would say, this isn't for me, and they would have quit. Some of you quit after one or two or have in the past, or you see people do that, and then they say the industry doesn't work. Well, this guy, he didn't quit. I don't know what drove him, but he didn't quit. He was not a quitter. He didn't. 11 of them didn't work, and he got into the 12th one. And somebody said to him, "You got to go talk to this guy because you know you have this all wrong." So he went to and found this mentor, great mentor, and the guy said, "It's very simple." He says, "You want to make this work?" He says, "Do 3 presentations every day. Show the plan 3 times every day, 5 days a week. Show the plan every day, 5 days a week." And you know what? A year and a half later, the guy was at the top of his company. And he only signed up about 100 people, which isn't a lot when you consider he showed the plan 3 times every day. So that'd be 15, that'd be 60 times a month. So he showed the plan to over 900 people. And he only signed up, so 1 out of 10 he signed up. That's probably statistically about fair. And he only had 4 people that really became huge for him. Out of 600 presentations or 900 presentations. But guess what? He did it, and he's a multimillionaire today. 11 years of failure and became a multimillionaire in like 2 years. So, you know, so it's the idea is that what? Just do when you know what you need to do. But because people aren't telling you every day, you have the freedom. I have the freedom to get roll out of bed at noon. I have the free, you hear that about network marketing, and you think, wow, that's my life. It's a choice you make. You're either going to be successful or not. It's a choice that we make. Another concept, the more you learn, the more you earn. People say that, and then because they go, oh, that's, you know, if I just go out there and keep training and learning more and get education, well, yeah, you know, Paula says, look at the PhDs in this world. If you look at the average pay of PhDs today, it doesn't light a candle to the top salesmen who don't have any degrees, many of whom have no degrees. They're just out marketing. So it's not about how much you learn. And remember, Think and Grow Rich told us that as well. It has nothing to do with your education. So action is what's critical in network marketing. Don't too many get caught up in learning. We do need a basic core understanding, but we need action. Action. Don't ever let your mind fool you. Change the way you're thinking. Always take into account, what am I thinking about? Why am I not taking the action I need to do? You're stuck in a thinking mood, a contemplative mood, instead of an action mode. So get in the action mode, and that will make a difference. Anyone can be, you know, the worst network marketer on the face of the earth can turn into somebody successful if they just step into action. Get out of inaction, step into action, right? Another principle she brought up is understanding the game we're in to know what to do. There's 2 ways to make money in multi-level marketing. Show the product, show the business. And how many times do you do that? Well, Paula's standard is this. When you get started in network marketing, she said 80% of your time for at least your first 3 to 4 months should be about you. 80% of the time, you showing the plan. In other words, not showing it for your people, but showing the plan for yourself. You don't shift. The real barn burners, the people that sign up the most people in network marketing, typically are the ones, or the most numbers in terms of 10 a month or 12 a month or those kind of numbers, are typically people that are brand new. In their first 3 to 6 months, that's when people, because they're so, their excitement just exudes from them everywhere they go, and they have a whole fresh new market that has never been touched, all their friends, their family, so they tend to go out there and do all the exciting things. And that's exactly what you need to do, because it's critical importance that you build a great first 90-day, I think first 30-day results. I like my people in the first 30 days to get their regional director. That's a great result. build a great first month story. When people don't build a great first month story, sometimes they hang on for a second month, a third month. Sometimes they become social manatechers and they hang on for 6 years. But you are serious about your business, and you need to spend time with the people that are also serious about the business, not the social networkers. So find the people that are totally all in, totally committed, and work with those people. And those are people that are out there showing the plan 3 times a day. They're talking to lots of people. They're doing what it takes because they really, really desire it. It is their dream is guiding them. Their why is crucial. It makes them cry, right? So get that real clear. And then after you get through that first 120 days, then you might start shifting. It might be 60-40% or something like that. But for the first 120 days, no matter who you bring on, you can help them and help show the plan for them. But still, 80% of the time is you, driving you. You driving you. And there are two ways to fail in MLM. One is don't show the business the product, right? Become a manager, and we already talked about that. And the second one to fail is this, very crucial, and maybe this one hits a home run ball for some of you on the call today. Emotionally be attached to every sale. If you're emotionally attached to every sale, you will always fail. You've got to get your emotions out of it. You can be excited about your business either way, and you will look desperate if everything has to be yes. When people get emotionally attached to every sale, then they become desperate people. And you start selling people. You start overselling. You start being overly zealous. You start being a heat-guided missile. It's crazy what we do. And you start losing your enthusiasm. You start doubting your abilities. You go into mega downfall if things don't go your way. So you want to stay focused on what? Two ways to succeed. You show the product, show the business. Show the product, show the business. It doesn't matter. Whatever the person decides is their decision. They make a choice. You want to be effective at what you communicate, so you do need to support yourself with some training and education, but your future is not tied to that person saying yes or no. And your emotions don't need to be on a roller coaster. The people that I see that are most effective, most successful in network marketing, they have no emotional reaction. Yes or no, next, NEXT, favorite word, NEXT. The other characteristic, she said, is the people get involved in network marketing, they come on board. He says, one way to guarantee that you're going to be miserable in this industry is to grow slowly. And she's absolutely right. When people come in and they go, okay, well, I'll sign up their first person this month and sign up another person in 2 or 3 more months and sign up another person in a couple more months, and this goes on and on and on. And you know what? They're miserable. Why? Because they're not making any money. They're seeing no results. But they're also not going to attract anyone to them, because who wants to be part of something that is like a snail? Most people get involved in network marketing don't want to think about making $1,000 a month 3 years from now. They don't want to hit national director status 3 years from now. That's why Manatech puts all these incredible incentives up front for hitting regional, national, executive, presidential in the first 12 months, because they get this, that results are what cause people to stay attracted and interested and fully committed. That's why in South Africa they're doing this entire 3-point plan program, because they're always driving people to hit new leadership levels, because new leadership levels produce more income. So it's about growing quickly. It's about getting out there, making tons of contacts, growing as quickly as possible, taking action. You become the speed of your group as a leader. So we've talked about a lot of concepts, but a lot of this boils down to one major issue, which is, why are you not taking action? What is holding you back? And until you conquer that, you're going to stay stuck no matter how much Paula Pritchard teaches you or Mary Jo teaches you on these Monday calls or you listen to your upline. If you're not going to take action, then you're going to hold yourself back, because action is absolutely required. It's kind of like what Scripture tells us. Faith without action is dead, right? I mean, our activity has to be, we need to be out there and we need to be working. God doesn't tell you just pray about it and let me be in total control. That's not what he's saying. He is in total control. But the idea is he has an expectation of us taking action, right? So we need to move those feet, right? Move those feet, absolutely. So ideas, taking action. So what stops people from taking action? There are 8 basic causes that stop people from taking action. And maybe one of these, even if you might go, well, Mary Jo, I don't have a problem. I take action all the time. I'm working. How many people are you helping teach, train, educate, motivate, inspire? Are you an inspirational leader? Do you want to be an inspirational leader? Better question. I would think everyone would want to be an inspirational. I love to inspire my people to be best they can be, better than what they even think they can be. That's my goal with all my people. So you want to be an inspirational leader. You want to get people to do things. Leadership is about getting people to do things they wouldn't do otherwise without having you in their life. So we want to be inspirational. But there are 8 causes that hold people back from taking action. So let's look at each one of those, because even if none of these apply to you, I'm going to suggest that you have plenty of people around you that are stuck in one of these 8 ways, and you need to know how to grapple with it. Because if you can't help them and move them, they're going to stay stuck. And then the only result for you is to move on. Next, NEXT, remember? All right, so here you go. Number 1, training. Some people are stuck and they don't take action because they don't feel like they know enough. Now, we always know we have what? Production before perfection. That's Tony Geary concept, that we get out there, we don't have to worry about perfection. This is not a world about being perfect. It's a world about using your enthusiasm and excitement to go out there and market the products and the business opportunity to everyone and anyone you know. Gain perfection as you go along. You'll never run out of people, ever, ever. And people thrive on excitement, because you know what? Most people don't have a lot of things really exciting happening in their lives every day. So when they see somebody at Dynamo that's really excited, and not superficially, use your heart. Come from your heart. Communicate from your heart. But you want to get a certain level of training, because training skills is part of the formula for success, right? We talked about that earlier, that belief plus skills plus action equals success. And skills is important, but you don't have to be the most skillful person in the world. You've seen some people walk across the stage at Manatech that broken English, hardly could speak, and they became presidential directors. So it's not about being perfect in your skill set, but it is about developing skills. And we continue to develop skills. I work on them every day. Develop competence, because competence develops confidence. So when you get a level of competence, then you have more confidence. If you have more confidence, people are going to be more attracted to you. People see through you right out of the box if you have no level of confidence. And if you're excited, it's going to show. Excuse me. So when you go out there, you want to make sure you're excited. Do you feel you know what you're doing? Are you smooth at the invitation? Are you quick with what do you do? That's one of my favorites. If somebody says to you, well, so what do? You better be ready on a dime to respond to that. And that's called what we call our elevator speech. We want to make sure that we know exactly what we're doing. We want to get people excited about what we do. We want to be excited about what we're doing. So have that answer down pat. What do you do? Especially if you're going to call that stack of cards that have been sitting on your desk for 6 months and you don't even remember where you got them from. When you start asking them to describe their business more and how can you, what would a perfect referral look like for them, you know, and they're going to say, so what do you do? And you go, have it down, pat. Have it absolutely down pat. Don't guess at it. Don't sue the seat of the pants. Have it down pat. You want to be sound fluid and you flow and you just love what you do and your passion's into it. That's what you want. That's what you want. So make sure you have these things down. So do get some training, but just a training, your best training ground is what? Doing. Because when you get out there and you start doing, that's when you're going to learn even more so. Where am I lacking? What do I need to perfect? And you can clean it up and move on. You can practice with your family members. Right? But don't sit back and wait 3 months until you know it all. How are we producing people jumping right in who get to national director in 2 months if they had to sit back and know it all? For some of you who have been in Manatech as long as I have, you know it would take you 6 years to know it all, right? So don't get stuck in training. Just make sure you do get the training, get the skill training, so that you move forward in the best way. But you can do it and train yourself as you move forward. So don't let training stop you from taking action. Time management. Another reason why people don't take action. They don't manage their day. They're not spending enough time in activities that produce results, right? The whole concept of this business is recruiting, recruiting, recruiting. Contact, invite, present, follow up, close, and start in the business. Then contact, invite. It's a circle. So recruiting is crucial. And as Paula said, she said, work isn't recruiting. Work is recruiting too few. I love that comment. Work isn't recruiting. Work is recruiting too few. So it's about numbers. And she said Mary Kay, if you know the famous Mary Kay Ash, who is with Mary Kay Cosmetics, one of the largest network marketing companies in the world, she was masterful. She would have distributors use an hourglass so that any phone call could only take 3 minutes. So you have 3 minutes to make the appointment. So she didn't let you wax on and wax off and stay on the call for a half an hour. Some of you have that problem. I call it diarrhea of the mouth. I don't, because I don't like to. I had to teach myself to talk about the small stuff just to break the ice and build relationship, because I wasn't a small stuff talker. I like to get to the guts of the matter right up front. I like to be really out there, right? So I had to learn to just quash that a little bit, part of my training that I had to go through. Each one of us comes from a different ilk, so we have different trainings. But can you imagine, you keep a notebook by your phone, tracking your phone calls and the time with the wrong people. One major cause of failure is spending too much time with people who will never make you a dime. Spending too much time with people will never make you a dime. How does that apply in your life today? Third cause of not taking action, credibility. You're having trouble attracting people you know. I mean, are people on your contact list that you just can't get them interested? Do you find yourself convincing people? So are you chasing people or more, you're attracting needers versus wanters? There's a big distinction between those two. Which one do you think is going to really, really work this business? The wanters are going to really drive the business. The needers are going to be needy. And usually if they're needy today, they're needy tomorrow, they're needy next month, they're needy in 6 months, or needy in a year. And they're just going to drive you crazy with time and energy and effort. You want the wanters, those are the drivers, they're going to say, wow, I see the vision and I want this for myself. I can't wait to get on board. There you go. Now you have incredible people to work with. So is there a reason why you're not contacting your peers? If you're having problems with credibility around them, then you need to get into cold marketing. Find people you don't know. That's nothing wrong with that. So if you know, some people say, oh, I've been in 7 other network marketing companies. The last thing I want to do is go back to my friends one more time. I go, great, don't. There's no need that you go back to your friends. I can go out today and I could build a list of 100 new contacts in one day. How many people can do that? I hope all of you are raising your hand. Really, if you took a sheet of paper and you had to get 100 names out of it in one day, everybody could do that. Because you could start with just your neighborhood and get all the people in your neighborhood's names and their wives' name. And then you could take out your church directory and put all those names. You follow? So there's 101 ways we can come up with names. It's just, are we doing it? Probably not. But credibility is an issue for you, then go after people. If you can't go after people you already know, then go after a cold market. D, belief in your company. This will prevent people from taking action every day of the week. And I'm telling you, what Manatech is doing today is, I mean, I've been around for 17 years. I've never seen them adopt a set business plan for all of us to follow. It's always been something new and different. Every time something new comes around the corner, we have a new business plan. Every time a new product comes out, we refocus everything. When a new product comes out, we should fit the product to a business plan. We shouldn't adopt a whole new business plan, right? I mean, it doesn't make any sense. So there are a lot of things Manatech is doing for the first time in my 17 years that I think are very sensible. We've had the best products. We still have the best products. It's just, let's get the right marketing plan, a business plan in place, and now nothing will stop you. So for me, that's where I am. But maybe you don't. You're paralyzed by that. If it's the wrong company for you, if the company's let you down and you can't get over it and say, hey, you know what? They're run by humans. I'm not perfect, so why do I have an expectation they will be? That's a good question to ask. So, but you need to get on board with the fact that you love this company and you love their products and you love to help end global malnutrition. If you don't have a heart and passion for that, then find one that you do, because that'll hold you back from taking action for sure. Belief in yourself. Wow, how many of us brought extra baggage from the past experiences in our life? Who told you in your life you couldn't do it? How many people? If you have a poor self-image or poor self-esteem, then what you need to do is work on what? Work on you. And I think this isn't just applicable to that. I think sometimes we have roadblocks in terms of communication skills, or we don't value people properly for some reason or another, or we carry a lot of judgment, or we don't know how to listen properly. All of these things are about inadequacies in ourselves that come out glaring. And this is where personal development is huge. And I love, of course, all of you know, I love the Clemmer work. I've been doing it for years. I recommend it. We just had, I think, five or six that were out at Advanced on their way to Heart. I mean, these are great courses that help support us grow and be better people. And when we're better people, we can be better at whatever we choose to do, whether it's Manatech or whatever it is, right? So if you have a problem with belief in yourself, then work on it from a perspective of how do I support myself? How do I become a better person? How do I get to like myself more? Because one of my favorite exercises that we did at, I think it was at Personal Mastery, one of the first classes that I attended in personal development, and this was years and years ago, 15 years or so ago, and I remember sitting in a class and they said, okay, they gave us 15 seconds to write the three most important people in our life, and we had to write those three names down. And then the first question after they said, okay, everybody done? Fine, great. And people were going, oh, I don't have enough time or something, and it was like crazy. Those people are the analysts. They had to analyze everybody in their life to decide which one's most important. But I'm kidding, all you analysts out there. Or we call them the cautious from the DISC perspective, the C. But the incredible thing was when you wrote those three names, the first question that the leader, the facilitator asked was, how many of you put your own name on that list? And there were only about four people. I didn't. When I did this the first time, I didn't have my name on the list. The three most important people in my life, and one of them wasn't myself. There are only like three people out of a group of 50 that put their own name down. And so that was a big aha moment for me as well. Why? Because we need to be important to ourselves. We need to be important to us. If we're not most important to us in our lives, in terms of our life, then how are we going to contribute into other people? No one else is going to make us most important. So we need to view ourselves as importance. And if you look in scriptural, you can look at love thy neighbor. Because I had this conversation with my pastor when I brought the Clemmer work into our church, the quickening. And he said to me, he goes, I just had a problem with this one principle, Mary Jo, about this, you know, and the concept of being important to yourself. And, you know, because we're the dirt underneath the sandals. We're the dust on the streets. He starts quoting it. And I said, yeah, but, you know, there's a scripture out there that says, love thy neighbor as thyself. And let me be perfectly honest with you, Pastor. I'm glad I'm not the next door neighbor to a lot of people in this church. And he started laughing. He was like, that overwhelmed him. Because the fact is, inherent in that is about loving ourselves. We need to love ourselves. And we need to have belief in ourselves. And so work on that element, and that'll help you get out in action. Fear is the next one, and fear is a big one because fear paralyzes a lot of people, and there are many kinds of fear, fear of failure, fear of success, and by the way, the number one fear, I didn't even list in here, the fear of public speaking is the number one fear people have. I don't know, I didn't have any of that. I think I came out of the womb loving to do public speaking, but a lot of people really fear getting up in front of people, and that's more of a self-image. It's about self-esteem, and it's about worried about self. That's, we don't want to look bad. We don't want to make a mistake. And for those of us who don't care about making mistakes because they're just lessons to learn and move on, it's easier. But we have these fears, fear of failure, fear of success. We fear what others think about us. We fear rejection. We have phone fear. And success for us is going to be taking inventory of some of the baggage that we're carrying around. What kind of baggage do we have that we're carrying around? And I remember when I went to a very early Nisi Moore training that we had to write down the top three objections that we're repeatedly getting when we went out and shared. And when I wrote mine down on a piece of paper, then the first thing Nisi Moore said after we were all done with writing them down, she said, now I want you to look at each of those, and I want you all to understand that those are objections you carry inside of you. And that's why you keep hearing them and you have a hard time overcoming them. And, you know, she was dead on. When I looked at mine, it was dead on. And it was crazy until I worked myself out of that and got over it. One of them was that products were too expensive. And I was like, boy, that's stupid. Look what happened to my father being on these products, and I still have in my brain somewhere that they're expensive. That's ridiculous. I mean, that took me about 5 seconds to overcome because it forced me to do the analysis. No one ever else forced me to do the analysis. I just looked at the price, compared it to what price you could get at a Walmart, and they were expensive in my book, instead of analyzing what they did. And this was long before, 18 years later, here I am, still blood pressure 92 over 58, no drugs in my system, have the energy of a, you know, crazed woman. I'm going in the mission field in another week and a half to spend 10 days over in Brazil, you know, running up and down the streets of Brazil, knocking on doors and visitation every single day to hundreds of homes. I Energizer Bunny, and I turned 60 this year. Do you think I like these products? Do you think they're worth the value is unbelievable. But I had to get over that, so I had to understand that. And in that meeting, that unless somebody brought it to my face, I wasn't going to do that. So that was holding me back. You know, network marketing was holding me back because I looked around and I said, you don't even have to have an eighth grade education to do network marketing. And look at all the education I have. What is this all about, right? Well, what was I getting confused with? I was getting caught up in myself instead of saying, hey, this is great. The fact that this only takes eighth grade education is so awesome because it means I can help everyone walking on this earth. I'm not just looking for people with a college degree. I can help everyone walking on this planet to have a better life. What a great opportunity we have with Manatech. So, I mean, some of these things I just had to work through and think through, because if we don't work through them and think through them on our own and get the logic down, we'll be lost forever. And sometimes we don't even realize that we're carrying a fear. It was instilled in us as a child, but it paralyzes us. And remember, fear, the word false evidence appearing real, that's a huge concept. I'm sure you've heard of it. But we need to quit worrying about the negatives, what might happen, and start focusing on the positives, creating greatness around you. And that's a very important thing. Attitude of gratitude will help produce this for you. One of those core principles of networking is always be positive. Have an attitude of gratitude. A person is born with two fears, that's all we're really born with, falling and loud noises. The rest of them we collect during our life and they rob us of our joy. They destroy us of our joy. We get paid for rejection in this business, so get prepared for it. Every one of us knows that. Paula actually tells her people to build an imaginary suit of psychological armor. Companies don't send their people out without being prepared, you know, being unprepared, they prepare them. So practice, practice, practice. No's from other people kill more networkers than anything else. Why? Because they're emotionally attached to it again, right? So you need to imagine armor so strong, bullets, spears, and even no's can't penetrate this armor. And we become bulletproof. We're not attached to whether someone says yes or no. Yeses can be, in fact, in many cases, yeses can be worse than getting a no. Because when somebody says yes and they get started with you and they don't do anything and they eat up all your time for the next month or two or three, or for some of you on this call, for the next 1, 2, or 3 years, because you keep chasing them. Remember, don't spend people who waste your time and waste your time on those who will never make you a dime. It's a great statement. So yeses can be worse than no's in some instances. Self-talk is another way to deal with fear. Fear is coming face to face with a grizzly. That's what fear is. Face to face with a grizzly, you can have fear. But how can you fear a mere phone call? How can you fear picking up the phone? Why does that phone weigh 10,000 pounds to you? And that's the same thing that happened with Paula. She had a 10-ton phone. She said she had the fortitude of a gnat in a hurricane. That's a lot of fortitude. Anyway, but she made a big game out of her fear of picking up the phone. She said picking up the phone was a success in itself. So just grabbing the phone, picking up the phone was success. So every time she had a call, she made a call, she celebrated as if it was a great victory. And she built this history of success in her mind. And when she conquered the phone, she waged a war on all of the fears that she had. And the same thing is what we can do. Because these fears just stand between you and success. The fear of rejection, it very common contributes to procrastination and causes people to lie about their activities. I see that happen a lot. People lie about their activities they're doing. Because I know they're not doing those activities because their results would be different. So people lie about their activities and postpone their dreams just because of a fear of rejection. Wow. That's crazy, isn't it? Know that you're not the issue. They say no to the business, not to you personally. I also learned the law of averages. We talk about that a lot. I teach it all the time now. No's and yes's are equal value. No's are a necessary part of our whole trip, our whole business. And we got to get out of the fact that we turn a 3-second disappointment into a 3-week downer. Both experiences are valuable. And if you think about it, when you go to a clothing store and you walk in and you walk around and shop around and you don't buy anything, when you walk out of the door, do you hear a thud behind the counter where the salesman collapsed because he's so devastated because you didn't buy anything? No, why not? Because they understand the numbers. They understand how many people will buy, how many people won't buy, and they don't let it rob them of their joy. And don't let what other people think cause you a problem. You have a fear. You don't want to talk about your networking business because you fear what other people might think. I mean, there are going to be people who criticize you no matter what. People will really require people who take, action and go in unconventional paths. And you are. You're walking away from the job market saying, I'm taking the unconventional path. Everybody has an opinion about your decision, and they're more than willing to share it. And most of the time, they're negative because it protects them, not you. It protects them. If they tell you to get involved and they're excited for you, then when you fail, they're going to take the blame, and they don't want it to be their fault. Did you ever think about that? They're protecting themselves. Most of the time, it's not even conscious on their part. They want you to stay in living in mediocrity. Because if you make it, what are you going to lose? What are you going to do? You're going to become so successful, you're going to leave their stinking neighborhood. And when you move out, they're going to be left behind. So if you can't have, don't ask for or listen to unwanted advice from people. Talk to people successful in network marketing business. Be on phone calls like Mary Jo's and other people that have great phone calls that can help you stay positive. Quit hanging around people that don't support you. The seventh one is lack of motivation. And maybe lack of motivation is because you don't have the right goals. Remember we talked about Tony Robbins said one time, people aren't lazy, they just have impotent goals. I got so turned on to that quote, and I just found it like 6 months ago for the first time. But I love it because I think impotent goals kill a lot of people. What are your goals? What's your vision for your life? If you play small, you're going to make small. So you got to start looking at that and get out of your indecisiveness and sit down and make a decision, proceed with action, set your goals big, be driven because that's what's going to be it, and that's going to motivate you. I'm going to get there no matter what. That's the language you need to say. I'm going to get there no matter what. And mean it, not say it and go, oh, I don't really mean it. It just sounds good. Mean it. And a lot of times we don't take action because we just don't want to take action. We're lazy. We didn't want to do something. In the moment, we didn't want to do it. It looked a little bit hard. But did you ever remember the time when something looked hard and you didn't want to do it, but you started doing it, and after you got going, what happened? You got exhilarated by it. Because you know what? Not only did you get going with it, but you started enjoying it, and you got it accomplished, and you feel this great exhilaration and sense of accomplishment and success when you concluded it. But for some reason, we don't remember that great experience. All we do is remember the first part of just getting started with it. People remember the exhilaration on the end. And the last one, number 8, things that stop people from taking action is a pure lack of discipline. And I totally agree with Paula on this one. She said she saved this for last because it's the most important. It's the difference between those who make it and those who don't. Keep doing those things you said you would do day in and day out, no matter what happens in life. That's called discipline. Consistency in behavior, even when you don't feel like it, that's discipline. Greatest reward is not just success, but self-esteem and self-worth. So you got to conquer those things. It's just like weight loss, you know. How do you get weight loss? You don't eat better for 3 days. Weight loss is about making a decision and following it through and having the discipline to do it month after month after month. And doing that uncomfortable gives you great joy and victory over yourself. Many people have enough of this business to keep them, many people have enough in this business to keep them unhappy. In other words, they don't have enough people in the business with them. So we need to build more people in our business that will build us more happiness and surround us with people that are positive and excited about the business. The goals, the friendships, the excitement, you should find happiness in just building the business. How many people say, I'll be happy when? That's the craziest thing in the world, because happiness can only be experienced in the now. So choose joy now. Choose happiness now. Then your business will mass produce. And few people draw the relationship between happiness and discipline. Discipline creates happiness. Lack of discipline leads to failure. And where there's failure, there never can be happiness. And many people who think about failure, they think about one life-shattering event in their life, right? We think about something happens, oh, my house burned down and I lost everything, and then they say failure. I lost my job, I'm in failure, right? One earth-shattering event. That's not really how failure happens. You know how failure happens? Failure happens in your life today and every day. It's the little things you don't do every day. The lack of discipline on the important things day by day is what causes us failure. If we fail to act today, we fail to exercise today, we fail to talk to other people today, we fail to serve today, we fail to follow up today, all of this, these little things that we fail to do day in and day out, that's what causes failure. It's the little things. So if you make a business plan and you say, I'm committed to making 5 phone calls, 5 contacts a day, and you only do 1, and you go, oh, no big deal, no big deal, not that important, I can catch up later. Failure. Failure. That's what it is. Because of the lack of discipline, you created failure. Because you know what happens? If you say it's no big deal one day, you see, days become weeks, and weeks become months, and months become years, and years become a lifetime. And you know what's so cool about this? You have a choice to change today. If this is you, make a choice. Change today. Start building that discipline in your life every day. You don't get to do this until you complete these 5 things. It's what made me work at this business. Now, I didn't have, you know, I was fairly disciplined, so I had a huge goal that I had to accomplish, otherwise we were selling the house because I gave up my 6-figure salary to do Manatech, so I had a big goal out there. I had a huge why. But you know what? It was a discipline every day that I had to force myself. Some days I was like, oh, why am I doing this? I'm making $100 a month, and I used to make $100 more. I used to make $300 an hour, and I'm making $100 a month. This is insanity. I mean, think of the conflict and the disconnect in my brain that went on when I started doing network marketing. But I just knew that I knew that it was going to work because I saw other people make it work. And so it's the little disciplines in life every day. It's that book. Remember we talked about The Slight Edge or The Compound Effect by Darren Hardy or The Slight Edge by Jeff Olson? These are great books, and these hammer right on this point. Success follows the same pattern, right? Success follows the same pattern. In other words, if you want to make 5 extra calls a day, guess what? It'll result in success. It doesn't come. Success doesn't come with a $1 million check in the mail. Just like failure isn't one big event, success isn't one major event. Success comes with minor changes every day. Failure comes from minor things we don't do every day. Success comes from doing the things, the 5 necessary things, the 12 daily habits every single day. And that's what creates success. So discipline is key to our success. All right, people, hopefully this training covered some of the ways that you might feel you're stuck, some of the reasons why I've been to all the trainings and why isn't my life working. Hopefully we've uncovered some. thanks for letting me go long today. There's a lot of material, and we love Paula. She does a great job. I hope you enjoyed the training today, and have a great week. Any questions? Anyone have any last-minute questions? Anyone have any comments? Did anything in here you want to share if there is something that might have hit a home run ball for you? Okay, people. Oh, there you go.
It was awesome. Thank you.
Yeah, so it really worked for you, huh? You found some things where you need to work. Great.
Yes. Thank
Great.
You.
Thank you for sharing. Thank you. All right, everybody, let you go. Have a great week. Let's go out there and make it happen. Don't forget to focus on Jason Lester. Focus on being at ManaQuest. We got a lot of great things coming out down the pike and a lot of things we can work on right now in the moment to make a huge difference in people's lives. Love you guys. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.